Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
I can take them to a place, personally, that they can't get to themselves.
Right back in this game!
Big expectations.
They got to buy into that, and it's not going to be comfortable at times.
I pull and I root for the team because I know if the team's playing well, it makes the people in the city excited and happy.
You know, we're in this thing to win.
This game is over!
This is Ryan Nugent-Hopkins.
This is Oscar Platt.
This is Milan Lucic.
This is Connor McDavid from your Edmonton Oilers.
This is Oil Country.
And this is Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Brought to you by Digitex. Office equipment solutions North America-wide?
Yeah, Digitex does that.
D-I-G-I-T. EX.ca. Now, Bob Stauffer on
the official radio station of your Edmonton Oilers, 630 CHED.
This is Oilers Now. We got ourselves a game day. Oilers Now is presented by Digitex, PCs, copiers, supplies, printers, laptops, IT, plotters, software. And now, Digitex can manage your corporate cell phone plan, saving your company money. All your devices managed at Digitex.ca. Coming up, we'll set it up. It's the Edmonton Oilers. It's the Columbus Blue Jackets. We'll hear from Oilers head coach Ken Hitchcock. Reed Wilkins will swing by from Inside Sports. We'll have NHL Today for Elite Promotional Marketing. All within the first half hour of the show. At 12:35, we'll go old school with Louis DeBrus from NHL Hockey and Rogers. 105 today, Brian Burke. Brian Burke brought to you by our friends at Canadian Power Pack, Alberta's leader in electrical construction and service, electrical, prefabrication, and solar. We will also hear on today's show from Kurt Hill. He's the general manager of the Edmonton Oil Kings. They open up their first-round playoff series Saturday night, 7:30, against Sean Clouston's Medicine Hat Tigers, the Oil Kings first in the Central Division during the course of the regular season. And Jody Shelley coming up on today's edition of Oilers Now. He is the longtime Columbus former Blue Jackets player and now Blue Jackets television analyst. Let's go. Here's how you get to us via social media or contact info. You can reach us on our River Cree Resort Casino hotline, 780-496-0063. They got Grammy winner Rick Springfield taking the stage at the River Cree on Saturday, March the 23rd. You can text us at 630-630, the Heartland Ford text line. All dealerships are the same. Think again, experience buying a vehicle on your terms with no pressure at Heartland Ford out in Fort Saskatchewan. I'm on Twitter, Bob_Stauffer, the Twitter account for the show, at Oilers Now. Brendan Escott available at Brendan Escott. Special thanks to all of the people that made it down throughout the course of the week to the Edmonton Oilers season seat holders event. I know I was part of a panel today. Some great questions, some tough questions, and there should be, given the current state of where this team is at. The Oilers on the outside looking in for the playoffs. I know John Shannon was part of things today, Bob Nicholson, Susan Darrington, and Stu McDonald, but a special thanks to all the the fans and season seat holders that participated and made it down here today. We're going to head straight off in our Oilers Now Direct Workwear Audio Vault. Speaking of Direct Workwear, for product knowledge, compliance, and great pricing and innovation, directworkwear.com. An Edmonton-based company. Oilers playing Columbus for the second time in less than a month. They smoked them 4-0 in Columbus earlier this season. Ken Hitchcock explained how they got the success they did.
Well, it was one of our best games, not just road games, but I think it's typical of our team. When we're able to occupy the offensive zone, that's how we play defense. And that's the new NHL. More time you spend in the offensive zone, the less time you're going to be spending defending, and that's success, and that's what we did in that game. We had long shifts in the O-zone, and we protected the puck, and a couple of times it ended up being goals for us, but more important, that's where we spent the time, and that's that. The winning programs have extended O-zone time, and when you have that going, it's a good thing.
Hitch then also illustrated some points on puck movement from the back end.
If you look at any teams that are quick transition, they find the middle of the ice, and they're not afraid to. There's a risk and a dynamic to play that way. But any of the successful teams use the middle of the ice way more than they use the boards. And you can't be a good transition team if you just keep putting it on the boards. You know, you end up chipping it out and chasing it. You don't end up with possession metrics at all. You can't be afraid to use the middle of the ice on your exits. And like I said, there's a risk to play that way, but it's the only way that, if you look at all the good teams, that's the way they play, is they use that option quite a bit. Second part for me is we didn't win what I call, we won the critical ice game in Arizona. We were much better top of circle to top of circle than they were. And we lost both games, especially in the third period in Vegas, and we were swamped in the first period in St. Louis. We lost all the little battles inside the blue lines and never got out. So even if you do bang it up the boards and you don't get out on first touch, now you're stalled out. But to me, more than anything, we went the safe route, and the safe route does not work. You got to be able to put it in the middle.
All right, let's hear from some of the players. Sam Gagne, former Columbus Blue Jacket player, had this to say about the Blue Jackets.
I think we made them play in their end. You know, you look back to the one shift where they were in their end for pretty much a minute. We ended up getting a goal on that. And, you know, we did a really good job of when we were on our end, just packing it in, making sure that they work in grade A chances. And, you know, they're a team with a lot of depth, and they can get you a lot of different ways. So you got to make sure that you're bringing it throughout your entire lineup.
Zach Cassian, who had that spirited tilt with Patrick Maroon, a guy he went out for dinner the other night, well, that's an awesome story, says that the Edmonton Oilers, they got a chance to make.
Being an athlete, there's always, it's always hard on you mentally, but not so much this. We're going to go out, we're going to work hard. Like I said, we're not mathematically eliminated. We got a chance here. We have four home games here, and we have to get off to the right start. Last game we played this team, we played really well. We figured it was our best game of the year, so we have to replicate that tonight.
Leon Draisaitl's having a big year for the Edmonton Oilers. By the way, tonight Draisaitl will center Milan Lucic and Zach Cassian. Draisaitl on the year with 43 goals, 91 points. He's got 9 games left to score 7 goals to get to the 50-goal mark. But to him, he says the playoffs mean way more than the points.
You know, I'd rather give up some of my points to make the playoffs. You know, I'm happy with how I've been playing. You know, hopefully, like I said, I can keep it up for the last little stretch.
All right, that's Leon Draisaitl of the Edmonton Oilers. To tonight's lineup projected for the Edmonton Oilers, it'll be Connor McDavid, who has 15 points in 7 career games against Columbus, along with Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and Zach Cassian. And as I mentioned, Draisaitl, Lucic, and Chase on Colby Cave between Tobias Reeder and Sam Gagne. And then Kyle Brodziak with Joseph Gambardella and Josh Curry. Obviously, Puljujärvi done for the year with the hip surgery. The Oilers, Jujhar Khaira out as well, dealing with a little bit of an issue. Short term, it looks like. And that means Ty Ratty and Brad Malone will be scratched up front, scratched on defense. Kevin Gravel and Alexander Petrovich. This will be the 16th consecutive game that the Oilers' top six is intact. Klefbom with Larson. Darnell Nurse with Chris Russell. Sakara with Benning. The Oilers are 8-5-2 with this top 60 in place. Mikko Koskinen will start in goal. He shut Columbus out the last time he played them. He'll go up against Jonas Korpisalo, not Bobrovsky tonight. These lines are not finalized for Columbus, but Pierre-Luc Dubois with Panarin and Atkinson, though they did move Duchesne up to this top line and supplant Dubois against the Flames the other night. Duchesne had been playing with Dzingel and a player I love, Josh Anderson. Riley Nash scored 15 goals, 41 points in 76 games last year, plus 16 with Boston, suffered a nasty concussion. I don't think he's all back. He's got one goal in 69 games this year. He's minus 10. Sedlak and Jenner were with him the other night. Alex Wenberg with just two goals on the season. He was a healthy scratch the last time the Oilers were in Seabus with Dubinsky and Oliver Bjorkstrand. On defense, they had Werenski with Jones. Nudavar is expected to be back in with David Savard. Harrington with Adam McQuaid. As I mentioned, Jonas Korpisalo starts in goal for John Tortorella. All right, it's 12-16 in Edmonton. That's a look at the two teams. We've heard our comments courtesy, again, our friends from Direct Workwear. For product knowledge, compliance, great pricing, and innovation, directworkwear.com. They bring you the Oilers Now Audio Vault. Let's go to NHL today for elite promotional marketing, more than just sportswear. And here is Brendan Escott.
Thanks, Bob. It is a busy night tonight in the NHL with 12 games across the league. That includes Montreal entertaining the Islanders, the Flames hosting Ottawa, and Winnipeg visits Vegas. Some playoff-relevant games with Colorado playing in Dallas, Chicago hosts Philly, and Arizona visits Florida. Sends forward Jean-Gabriel Pageot has a hearing with the league this afternoon for boarding Canucks forward and former Edmonton Oil King, I believe, Ashton Sautner last night. It would be Pageot's first career suspension. Elsewhere, Sharks forward Timo Meier fined $2,000 this morning for diving last Saturday against the Predators. He was warned by the league back in early February and will now face a $3,000 fine if he repeats again. Leafs signing forward Nick Petan to a two-year contract extension with an AAV of $775,000. Longtime NHLer Chris Drury named the GM of the U.S. National Hockey Team this morning. He was put in the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame in 2015. And finally, the league announcing three games in Europe in 2019-2020. None of them including the Oilers. The Flyers open their regular season in Prague against the Blackhawks on October 4th, and then two games between Buffalo and Tampa Bay out in Stockholm as part of the Global Series. Condors, a road date with the Ontario Reign tomorrow night. Oil Kings open the 2019 playoffs on Saturday at home against Medicine Hat. They went 5-0-1 against Medicine Hat this year. Trey Fix-Wolanski named a first-team All-Star and an Eastern Conference Player of the Year, Bob.
He had a tremendous year. Fix-Wolanski on the season finished with 37 goals, 102 points in 65 games, plus 36 for the Edmonton Oil Kings. It's 12-18 in Edmonton. This is Oilers Now. And when we come back, Reed Wilkins from Inside Sports.
Subscribe to the Oilers Now podcast. Available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you find your podcasts. Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on 630 Chat.
It is 12:21 in Edmonton. Bob Stauffer with you. The Oilers and the Columbus Blue Jackets tonight at Rogers Place. Let's bring aboard Reed Wilkins from Inside Sports. Hi, Reed. How are you doing?
Good, Bob. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, absolutely. Look, I opened the show talking about the season seat holders event, and I did one this morning from 7 to 9 at Studio 99. I believe you and Rob Brown did a couple while we were away on the road. How do you find those?
Well, I mean, obviously there's a lot of unhappy, frustrated, angry fans, which is understandable.
Yes.
I think, you know, for me, obviously there were two types of questions, hockey operations type questions, and then fans asking about ticketing, which is something I obviously don't know as much about and I'm not as engaged in. So I found that interesting as well. Some of the questions or challenges fans might have in just terms of tickets, reselling tickets, all that kind of stuff. But I mean, the Oilers are in a really bad spot. There's no doubt about it. And I compare this to where we were in 2015. There was an interim coach at the time, Todd Nelson, who we didn't think would be back next season. I don't think Ken Hitchcock is going to be back next season. And then in the summer, or in the spring, I guess, the team changed general managers, which we didn't know was going to happen in March of 2015. But this year, we do know there will be a general manager. So, yeah, I mean, it's tough. Fans have been through this before. There's a lot of questions. There hasn't been much progress in the performance on the ice except for one season. So, you know, I wasn't overly surprised with what I heard. And, I think I understand a lot of the sentiments coming from season seats holders. Maybe not all of them, most of them.
The one difference I'd say from 2015, because I did a couple of those events as well. I think my friends booed me at one. I didn't know I had that many friends in Edmonton, so thanks for that. Hey, I wasn't the one that hired certain people. Anyhow, I digress. The one big difference, or maybe it's two big differences, is when we did those events during the 2014-15 season, the Oilers did not know they were going to win the lottery and get Connor McDavid, and I don't think even people in the Oilers organization knew how good Leon Draisaitl was. And that's, and I totally get the frustration out there. And having two of the top six scorers in the National Hockey League only adds to it to a certain extent, because the perception is you guys have completely squandered and mismanaged this. And I think that's a fair assessment to have, frankly. So I get it, but I do think in terms of moving forward, the one real positive is you do have those two big pieces. Now, the one thing I'll say, Reed, is I'm wondering if we're starting to see some fatigue set in with the amount of minutes McDavid, Draisaitl, and Nugent Hopkins have played, if we saw that a bit on the last.
Well, and that's, and I mean, again, that relates back to one of the big stories for the year, and one of the big weaknesses is the lack of depth on the team, and there's nobody else that can be relied on to produce anything offensively or even any sort of offensive pressure. And I mean, you look at, okay, you know, Joe Gambardella comes up from the farm, and he's playing 7-8 minutes a night, so it's not as if they're calling up people and injecting them into important roles in the lineup where they're gonna play a lot, and that's the number one challenge. I mean, I think you sit here with those. If we just look at the forwards, if you just look at the, you know, 12 to 14 forwards that have played most of the season for the Oilers, if after those three guys you just had an average set of forwards, how dramatically could that change the team? But I mean, right now tonight, you're playing with four forwards. I'll say, you know, for argument's sake, I'm sure people could quibble about that number, but I'm going to go with four. You have a third of your forward core that on most NHL franchises are in the minors or who are 13th forwards or who are perceived
as minor
league players.
So you're saying Gambardella, Curry, Cave, and are you saying Reeder because he hasn't?
No, I'm actually saying Gagne, who I like, and I like what he's brought. Okay. But I think we have to recognize most of the NHL this year perceived him as a minor league player.
Some of that
had to do with his salary.
Yes,
fair enough. And then that's not even including Reeder and Lucic,
right,
who have mind-bogglingly and dramatically performed way under expectations. Like, if we're sitting here talking about Toby Reeder having six goals on the season, we're saying it's been a bummer of a year for him.
Yeah.
And he has zero. And the last year and a half for Lucic I mean, there's half a forward core that is either probably should be in the minors or is not performing at their NHL expectations.
You know, it's
half.
The three right wings to start the year, top three right wings, Ty Ratty, Kari Yamamoto, and Jesse Puljujärvi ended up combining for 9 goals. And none of those three players are playing tonight. So that was an ill-fated perception that Peter Chiarelli had as a general manager. And frankly, the fact that Chiasson's coming here and scored 20, and even Cassian scoring 13, and Cassian showing that he could at least temporarily fill in a top six spot, has been a blessing for Edmonton. Certainly nobody saw Reeder having the type of year that he's had. I'm going to tell you right now, Tobias Reeder is probably going to have to sign somewhere in the NHL, basically around 800K. And my guess is he'll bounce back next year and score 8 to 12 goals. Like, he scored 12 to 16 4 years in a row. I thought, given that I thought he was going to spend some time with Leon Draisaitl, I thought he could score 16 to 18. So shows you what I know. I mean, it didn't come close. I also believe the penalty killing was going to be way better with Trent Yanni for 3 straight years. Trent Yanni had a top 5 PK in Anaheim, and it's worse than it was last year. And remember how bad it was on home ice. So
yeah, well, actually, the last third of last season, it was actually quite good.
Right.
And I think it was top 5 in the NHL.
And
that shows you how.
Yeah, and Todd McLellan took that penalty kill over from Jim Johnson midway through February. It has been a frustrating year, and the Oilers get kicked in the teeth as a result of that. And everybody in the organization has to wear it. And the reality is the best people in society, Reed, they take criticism and they grow from it and they get better. And then there's other people that just shut down and don't give a crap and they don't improve. So it's going to be incumbent on everybody in the Oilers organization to own it and take it moving forward and get better. Give me a quick riff on tonight's game.
Well, the last time these two teams played, I thought it was one of Edmonton's best games of the year, and I didn't think Columbus played well. And that's how you wind up with a four-goal difference. Now, I think Jody Shelley's going to tell you the last eight or nine games for the Blue Jackets,
they haven't looked good. Right.
But they're probably going to play a little angry. And I really think this is going to be a challenging nine-game stretch for the Oilers. They're saying all the right things.
Yeah.
But I think the reality is really set in now. You can be as hopeful and as optimistic as you want, but there's a certain reality. This will be, I mean, this is the best team they're facing on the homestand, I think, on paper, even if you don't look at recent performance. So I think this is going to be a tough one. And we'll see if Koskinen can bounce back because his last two outings have not been good.
All right, Reid, awesome stuff. We appreciate your time as always.
Okay, see you, Bob.
Off to a Global News weather traffic update with Eileen Bell. And when we come back, the big man, Louis DeBrusque from Rogers Place. This is Oilers Now.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio. 630 Chad.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.